Captain Rafe Grandon, who was running rearguard, caught up with Tyria.
What in the name of seasons is a blinking goose doing in the middle of a forced march?
Tyria came straight to the defence of her friend.
I don't know, Captain, but he's come a long way to be with me, so it must be something important.
The barnacle goose raised his weary head from the grass.
I come from the Abbey of Redwall to see this maid.
Captain Grandon twiddled his long ears in admiration.
I say, well done, that bird, what? Right, then see her you must. But we can't halt the march. Subaltern's Quartel and Porton, fall out. You two buckos stay here with Lady Tyria and this bird. We're carrying on to the field of battle. Afraid you'll have to catch us up later, ma'am.
Tyria nodded.
Thank you, Captain. Don't worry, we'll find you once our business here is done.
Grandon smiled and threw a hasty salute.
Oh, you'll find us, ma'am. Just march to the sound of the eulalias. That's where the long patrol will be.
He sped off after the other hares. Tyria gave Brantalus a drink from Porton's canteen and sat down by his side.
Take your time now. What news from the abbey?
Brantalus drank greedily before making his report.
We am thinking there is much news, but that can wait for a better time. Your father, the skipper, the abbess, and the old quelt beast sent me here to deliver this. I have not broken flight once since I left Redwall.
Bending his neck forward, the goose used his bill to delve among the thick downy plumage, where his neck broadened to meet his body. He had some difficulty trying to move the object, which was ringed around the thick base of his throat. Brantalus grumbled.
I am thinking this was easier to put on than to get off.
Quartle gallantly offered his help.
Straighten your neck, chin up, beak up, old lad. I've got the confounded thing.
Porton assisted him in moving the coronet from about the bird's neck. Both hares gasped in wonderment.
Oh, my giddy aunt Pinny, it's a blooming crown.
No, it ain't, Porters. It's a what's-his-name, a tiara.
Isn't it the confounded thing that was supposed to have gone down with the jolly old ship?
Well, here it is, old lad, Tyria's tiara. I say, that's pretty good, ain't it? Tyria's tiara.
The otter maid accepted it graciously from the two subalterns.
It's called a coronet. Oh, Brantalus, how can I ever thank you? What a great friend you are.
The barnacle goose ruffled his feathers back into place modestly.
You once helped me. I am thinking it was the least I could do to help you, Tyria Wildlock.
Quartle and Porton began rubbing their paws gleefully.
Well, go on, miss. Put it on, what?
Aye, let's see if it fits your royal bondsmith.
Tyria took the simple gold circlet with its inset stone, which sparkled like green fire, and placed it lightly on her head. It fitted easily about her brow. Brantalus stood and spread his wings.
I am thinking that was made for you.
Porton flopped his ears, always a sign of admiration in hers.
By the left, right and centre, miss, you really look the blinking part now, what?
He was correct. With the addition of the coronet to the breastplate and cloak, Tyria looked unmistakably regal. Quartle made an elegant, sweeping bow.
We are your most humble, blooming servants, Queen Tyria. Your wish is our flipping command, Majesty.
The otter maid struck a pose, trying to look as she imagined a queen would. Then she suddenly took a fit of the giggles.
Come on, you pair of duffers. Stop bowing and scraping like two dithering ducks. It doesn't matter what I dress up in. I'm still me, Tyria Wildlock from Redwall Abbey. Let's put a move on and catch up with the patrol. That is, if you're up to it, Brantalus.
The barnacle goose swelled out his chest.
Up to it? Well, I'm thinking we would not miss it.